What's up, guys? This is episode 13 of the Armed Redneck Podcast. And as you can tell, I am driving right now. And the main reason I do that is because my truck has a better microphone than my phone. So that's mainly why I do it. So anyways, today we have a first impressions, not a full review quite yet, mostly because of the ammo shortages. But today we are going to talk, well, I'm going to talk about my first impressions of the Smith & Wesson Model 25. So pretty much this is a new production Model 25. I forget which dash it is. I'm pretty sure it's like a dash 15 or some shit like that. But anyways, it is an end frame, 6.5-inch barrel, some cheap wood grips that Smith & Wesson puts on their classic line now. It's an end frame. It's practically a Model 29, but chambered in 45 Colt. And I know what you're saying. 45 Colt. That's fucking stupid. Yes, I know it's stupid. I know it's not the most powerful by any means, or really in any comparison. You're looking at typically, in modern 45 Colt, you're looking to similar 45 ACP ballistics. Now the cowboy loads are going to be trash, just because like they're based on the pressures that like people back in 1873 were shooting. So it's not going to be as good as a modern day, like modern ammo. You know what I mean? But you can actually get from Buffalo Bore. And there's other Buffalo Bore and Underwood are the main two companies that make the, like the 45 Colt Plus P, which is not a Sammy spec. It's kind of like a made up thing that Buffalo Bore and Underwood kind of made up. But you can get like extreme penetrators from Lehigh and Underwood, and just mono metals and stuff like that. But and actually, according to the ballistics of from Lehigh, I don't know how accurate this is. I haven't shot any ballistics gel yet, but they were saying that their extreme defender was getting, I think, like 18 inches of penetration out of a Taurus Judge, I think is what they said, which is pretty impressive out of a 2-inch barrel. So I imagine out of like a 6.5-inch barrel or a 5-inch barrel, you'd probably be, you know, penetrating a little more, if you know what I mean. But no, like, it's kind of promising. It's a shame that not more companies make more plus P loads for 45 Colt. And I think that's more of like a liability issue. That's why Underwood and Buffalo Bore, they both clearly state on their website that you should only shoot the plus P loads in certain guns. And if you shoot these loads and guns that they said were not okay, and something happens, they're not responsible. And if people are still stupid and still keep doing it, then they're just going to end up discontinuing it eventually. And I did contact Buffalo Bore about that, because Smith & Wesson wasn't on their list for any of them except for one. So I contacted Buffalo Bore and was like, hey, just wanted to double check. Is this like the only one that you guys say is safe to shoot in your Model 20, in Model 25s? And they said, yup, that's cool. So that's sweet. And I plan to get some and test that out down the road. It's just so expensive. And so, that's actually, 45 Colt's probably one of the few rounds they still have in stock, especially that load. But, 45 Colt, it's definitely an outdated cartridge. A lot of people really don't shoot it or carry it unless they're in, like, the cowboy action scene or anything like that. But it's still, it's an interesting gun. because not a lot of people know about it because it is 45 Colt. Everyone knows about the Model 29 because Dirty Harry. Everyone knows about the Model 27 is because the Model 27 was a shit. I don't know if it was the original 357 Magnum, but it was one of the first. And it was probably the first popular 357 Magnum. And it's a great gun. All the end-frame guns are great. And I know a lot of people are not happy with Smith & Wesson recently, saying that their quality control has kind of gone to shit. And I can't really speak for that myself yet. I've had an older Smith & Wesson revolver from like the 60s, I can't compare that to what they have today because I have no experience with that until now. Well, somewhat. And, you know, I'm going to get a full review done with this Model 25. I'm going to shoot at least 500 rounds. I've only put 100 through it so far. Because that shit's expensive. But, so, I will be doing at least a 500-round review. Including some Buffalo bores, some different range ammo, and stuff like that. And, no. Oh, and I got a cool holster for it. I got a DeSantis. I had good luck with my last DeSantis, so I got another one. And I like it. I like DeSantis. But, so, let's just talk about the 45 Colt real quick for a little bit. So, 45 Colt, as you all know, you know, it was designed by the company Colt back in, like, the 1870s. And, from my understanding, the first gun that shot it was the 1873 Peacemaker. Surprise, surprise. So, and then, like, back then, you really only had a couple options. You had 45 Colt, you had 44-40, which I believe back then was way more popular than anything else out there, which makes sense. 44-40 is a pretty awesome cartridge, but nowadays, it's really not as popular, unfortunately. And I don't know if Smith & Wesson ever actually did make a gun in 44-40. I don't know anyone that makes a double action revolver in 44-40. If they did, I'd totally get one. That would be a pretty cool gun. But anyways, and it's back when it first came out, you know, it was still using it was using black powder. You know, the pressures weren't super high, but that's how all the rounds were back then. 38's been around for years, like, fucking, probably like 150 years at this point. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but, like, look it up. It's been around for a long time. So, it's definitely changed. Ammo has definitely changed over years, you know. We've talked about that. We all know that ammo changes. Especially when you replace black powder with smokeless powder, you know, whatever. But anyways, so, with the 45 Colt in the end frame, from my understanding, they had the Model 24, and it, from my understanding, before I get ahead of myself, before they had model numbers, they were all called something else. I forget what the Model 25 was called. I know, like, the Model 27 was like the registered Magnum and shit like that. They all came out in like the early 50s, from my understanding. But you had the Model 24, which was a 44 Special. You had the Model 25, which was the 45 Colt. I can't recall what the Model 26 is. I don't know if there even was a Model 26. But so then you have the Model 27 and 357 Magnum, and then you have a Model 28, which was also in 357 Magnum. That was, I'm trying to think exactly how to explain what that, look it up. I always liked the Model 28. I don't know why they stopped making the Model 28. If they ever do bring it back, I'll definitely look into it. But I'm pretty sure that was a 357. But then you have the Model 29, which everyone knows is 44 Magnum. And I think that's kind of where they stopped with the end frames. Was after, you know, once they got to 44 Magnum, Smith & Wesson kind of coasted on that. And until, I guess until like the 90s maybe, you know, and then they came out with like the 610 and the 625 in like 45 ACP and 10 millimeter and shit like that. Which I think they discontinued the 625 and 45 ACP. Correct me if I'm wrong. You know, someone shoot me an email, follow me on Instagram, message me, whatever. Hawaiian.hillbilly is my Instagram. But that's probably the best way to contact me. But anyways, shit, what was I getting at? Oh man, I fucked up. But anyways, so that's pretty much all they have since then. I mean, they do have some, like, they have the 629, the 627, shit like that. The 627 is an 8-shot 357, which is cool. It's got the slab-sided barrel, which I always thought was pretty cool looking. That's part of their performance center line. And they all have different performance center models. You know, there's a performance center 629 and shit like that. But they never really... Oh, and I forgot about the Model 57 and 41 Magnum. Oopsies. Which is also another great gun. But so... they never really expanded on anything besides the Model 27 and the 29. You know, everything else kind of got left in the dust because those were their two most popular end frames, especially at the times they came out. But the Model 25, it's in 45 Colt, and I think it never caught on because it came out around the same time that the Model 27 came out, and everyone knows that 357 is a lot more powerful than 45 Colt, especially back in the 50s. So, you can't be too surprised. But I personally got it for carrying in the woods. Because you can get the Buffalo Boar ammo, which is, as I said, you know, pretty powerful. It's actually, if you look up the ballistics, it's not far off from like your standard 44 Magnum. I think 44 Magnum's hitting with about 1,100 foot-pounds of energy for the standard pressures. And this 45 Colt plus P, you're looking at around like 900 to 1,000 foot-pounds of energy. So you're looking at about 100 to 200 foot-pounds of energy difference out of a 6.5-inch barrel, which, you know, is a, you know, good bit of difference. But it's still a viable option. You know, there's three... people carry 357 Magnum all the time for bear protection. And I don't think you're getting more than 900 foot-pounds of energy either out of a 6.5-inch barrel. You might, but I think you would have to get a specific load, which these 45 Colts I'm talking about are specific loads. Where the 44 Magnum loads... I'm just talked about, that's your typical 44 Magnum loads. But so, no, I shot 100 rounds so far the other day of the Aguila Cowboy loads, and I was not too impressed with the loads themselves. The gun was very impressive. I was very good with the double action trigger. I'm like to pride myself that I'm actually better with a revolver than I am your standard semi-auto, like a Glock, Sig, CZ, yada yada yada. And it was a very heavy trigger, obviously, but it was a smooth trigger. You know, I had to like work with it a little bit and dry fire it a little bit till, you know, get it. I mean, it worked, don't get me wrong, but like it needed a little break-in period-ish, you know, nothing crazy. You know, triggers ease up over time and smooth out over time. So, but so far, yeah, I mean, it's a fairly accurate gun, especially for someone like me. I'm not no Jerry Michalek or any great shooter. You know, I'm not a competition shooter. I'm not going to sit here and say that I can hit a fly in the ass crack with, you know, at 35 yards away. I can't. I'm not a great pistol shooter. I like shooting pistols. I like shooting revolvers. I might not be great at it, but I really like it. I really like handguns. So, for the ammo was really slow, and I kind of figured that on the box. It said they were going about 600 feet per second, which is slow. That's slower than your 45 ACP or your modern 45 Colt. That's what, from my understanding, is what 45 Colt was doing back in 1873. So, and they were cowboy loads. It says on the box, in big letters, cowboy loads. But I got them because they were cheap. And I just wanted to see if the gun would run. The cowboy loads got my gun really fucking dirty. Which, I expected them to get them dirtier than normal ammo. But not as dirty as it did. But they ran fine. I didn't have any problems with the revolver within them 100 rounds. But it's only 100 rounds, so can't really tell you all that much yet about reliability aspects and stuff like that. But, you know, like, it's part of their classic line. You get a cool... Well, so here's my gripe about this fucking blue box they give you, okay? When you're looking at the blue box, it looks cool. It looks like, wow, I'm getting a quality case with this $1,000 gun. And I did pay $1,000 for it. That's MSRP. That's how the cookie crumbles nowadays. But anyways, I'm looking at this blue case. I'm like, wow, it looks like a great case, you know? Like, I'm glad, you know, Smith & Wesson took the time to think, hey, I'm going to give this guy a good case to put his, you know, expensive gun in. And, you know, all the videos I've seen, you know, looked like a good case and yada, yada, yada. Bruh, that case is the flimsiest piece of shit. I shouldn't say it's a piece of shit. They at least put padding and stuff in it. But yeah, like, come on, step your shit up. I'm spending $1,000 on a gun. Give me a little better of a case, you know. If not, knock down the price and give me a cardboard box, you know. I keep all my boxes anyways. Because I'm going to end up selling this probably. Because I wanted a Model 29. But every shop around here wants outrageous prices for Model 29s right now. It's pretty fucking ridiculous, to be honest with you. There was a local shop that wanted $1,500 for a Model 29. And I know it's only an extra $500. But, you know, I'm a poor kid. Can't afford $1,500. But, so, no. I have no issues with the 45, with the Model 25 so far. It is part of their classic line. It does have that stupid internal lock with the key. People call it a Hillary hole. It is what it is. You know, I got what I could get. But no, I will definitely get you guys another episode within the next month or so. So you guys can be on this journey with me. Ammo is kind of hard to get. I'll be upfront about that. Which was kind of surprising. Because, like, before I got this gun, you know, I'm looking around. I'm like, man, 45 Colt. You know, and I was going to get a 357 or a 44 Magnum. But you couldn't find ammo for them. But you could find ammo for 45 Colt. So I'm like, yep, I'm just going to go with 45 Colt. No biggie. Got the 45 Colt. All of a sudden, nope, can't find ammo for it. Got to find that shit online. You know, but I ended up finding it at a local shop. Because ammo, I don't know how it is in your areas. But the ammo is starting to come back a little bit. Guns actually around here haven't been bad coming in. We've still been getting a decent selection of, like, guns. Smith & Wesson, I mean, you guys can call me a Smith & Wesson fanboy all you want. I kind of am. But Smith & Wesson has been providing this entire time. Like, all the shops around me, they said that whenever, you know, they get a shipment, they're getting Smith & Wessons. They almost always get Smith & Wessons. So, I will say that, you know, Smith & Wesson, proud of you. You know, you're a good gun company, in my opinion. And, yeah, just work on your quality control issues. And, you know, maybe you can be a sponsor for the podcast. But, anyways, Oh, speaking of sponsors for the podcast, today's sponsor is Gordon's Sports Supply in Eagle, Pennsylvania. For all your hunting, fishing, outdoor activity needs, they even got disc golf and shit. You know? It's pretty cool. I don't know who plays disc golf anymore, at least around here, but they got that shit. So, go down there. You know, they're in Eagle, PA, right off of Route 100. Go up there. Tell them, you know, your good old buddy Sam from the Armed Redneck Podcast sent you, and they'll hook you up, man. So, but anyways, you know, let's get on another subject. Let's talk about fuckface Joe Biden. Because, so, we're kind of done with the Mile 25 for right now. But I just wanted to mention this before, you know, I decided to, you know, get tired of talking. Joe Biden has introduced this new bill, and he wants to, you know, read the fucking bill. It's outrageous. But you guys, me and myself included, need to band together as a community because you can't necessarily go straight for the top, okay? Especially by yourself. You know, with the boogaloo talk and all this, you know, get the fuck out of here. There's not going to be like a full-blown civil war, most likely. If anything, it's going to be the government makes these fucking laws, starts taking guns, cops and civilians die, and that'll be that. Whether or not they change things after or before or during all that, well, who fucking knows? But most of this boogaloo you guys are thinking of, it's not going to be a war. It's going to be almost domestic terrorism would be the easiest way to explain it. Almost like the IRA. Some people consider the IRA freedom fighters. Some people consider the IRA terrorists. You know, some people consider the Mujahideen freedom fighters. Some people consider the Mujahideen terrorists. Well, I guess now they're terrorists. But the point is, that's how it's going to be. It's not going to be, you know, us in the trenches, us, you know, kicking in doors. No, that's not how it fucking works, man. So my biggest advice to you would be continue to stock up on your ammo. Continue to stock up on your food. Get some fucking medical training. Because even if the boog doesn't happen, I guarantee you, you will use that medical training more than you will your $10,000 night vision goggles. Which is fucking stupid, I'm telling you that. But no, like, step your game up. Get the, you know, be prepared. I was a Boy Scout. And I know that sounds kind of dumb to some people. But when I was in Boy Scouts, I learned a lot, and be prepared was a number one thing, and I still use that, like, mindset. I'm always prepared for anything. Well, maybe not anything, but a lot of fucking shit. I'm prepared for it, you know? So stock up on your food, even if all you can afford is, like, canned food. Like, I get it, you know? Times are tough, especially, like, there's still a lot of people out of work because of COVID and shit, but, like, you don't have to get MREs or freeze-dried food, because I know that shit can get expensive. Stock up on canned food or non-perishables of some sort. Figure out a way to preserve it. Canned shit. Pickle shit. You know what I mean? You know, invest into some, like, water purification. You know? The United States is well overdue for a collapse. You know, look at all these different empires and shit throughout history. I think the average age of an empire is 200 years. And we're well overdue that. So, you guys need to take that into consideration. You know? And in case anything ever does happen, you need to be intertwined with your community. You know? And the best time to do that is now. Not when the boogaloo kicks off and be like, hey, I'm your neighbor, Fred. Give me your pork and beans. No, that's not how it works. Because when you guys are already a community, when shit happens, you guys will still be a community and be able to bond together and rebuild things. You know, and I'm not saying any of this shit's going to happen, but just in the off chance it does, you guys need to be prepared. You know, if you don't have a gun, get a gun. I don't care what you get. You know, something's better than nothing. You know, if you only have experience with a fucking bolt action, then get a better bolt action. That's my advice. You know, what? Like, if you have only ever shot bolt actions, get a Ruger Scout Rifle. Get a Mossberg MVP. Get a Savage Scout Rifle. You know? If you only have experience with lever actions, get a fucking lever action, dude. Get a Henry Long Ranger. Get a fucking Marlin. You know? Handguns, and, like, that's the thing. I think everyone needs, or should have, a fighting rifle of some sort that they are willing to fight with in some kind of, in almost any kind of combat scenario, whether it's clearing a house, whether it's in the middle of a field, whether it's in the woods. You need to know how to fight with it, you know, depending on your situation. You know, where I'm at, there's cities not far from me. You know, I live in Amish country where there's, you know, farmlands all over the fucking place. So, like, get the gun that suits well for you. Handguns, that's another thing. If you don't have a handgun, like a sidearm of some sort, it's not as big of a deal if you train with your rifle enough. You know, train with your rifle as much as you can if you don't have any other guns. If all you got is a shotgun, get the shot, you know, train with that shotgun. If all you have is a pistol, train with that pistol. You know, do what you got to do to be proficient, to protect yourself, your family, your property. You do what you got to do. And the people that don't train, and the people that just think, you know, I'm full of shit, and all these other people are full of shit, you're gonna die. You will. I don't, there's no other way to put it. You're going to die if you don't take care of yourself the proper way. So, that's really all I have to say about that. You know, if you guys have any questions, or, you know, don't know who to contact for training or anything like that, hit me up. I might not know exactly where you can get training at, but I'm sure I can find someone that can tell me, or find someone that can help you. You know, I talk to a lot of different people. You know, the gun community is pretty, you know, widespread, and we all talk. So that's pretty much it. And, today's shout out goes to, this new podcast I've been listening to. It's not really new. It's probably about 3 or 4 months old, but they only put out like one episode a month. It's called The Voice of the West. It's got Vincent Buckles. What's the other dude's name? Something Bernard. But, yeah, no, guys, go listen to it. They have a lot of good, you know, a lot of good views on things that people might not consider. You know, they might not be exactly what you agree with, but I tell you what, it'll make you see things in a whole different perspective. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. It's called The Voice of the West. You know, look it up. I highly recommend it. And, yeah. You fuckers have a good night.